Once in the dear dead days beyond recall, it might have been yesterday or tomorrow, an out-of-town visitor was being shown the wonders of the New York Financial District. When the party arrived at the Battery, one of his guides indicated some handsome ships riding at anchor. He said, "Look, those are the bankers' and brokers' yachts." "Where are the customers' yachts?" asked the naive visitor. That book was written in 1940, Where Are the Customers' Yachts? And we still don't have any customers' yachts. Hi, I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and this is the Mad Money Machine, show number 36, The Super Stock Spectacular.
The Mad Money Machine, nominated as Best Business Podcast at podcastawards.com.
Thank you very much, Charles. Coming up on the Mad Money Machine. I've got my 10 rules for active trading. We will spin the wheel in another round of Guru Roulette. I've got a tool in the crib for you. And a whole bunch of other stuff coming up later on the show. And a book giveaway. The Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Go check them out in your browser right now. Congratulations to Manager Tools for winning Best Business Podcast at podcastawards.com. And I hope you win the People's Choice Podcast Awards, because that means you won't be eligible to be nominated in the business category next year. Hey, I mentioned a couple of shows ago or so that my download stats were getting smaller because I figured everybody was on vacation. Well, you know what? They came back. And you came back from vacation, I guess, and downloaded the old episodes. So everything seems to be back in line. I can tell that downloads per show is slowing in August. But I expect, again, you'll come back in September and catch up to this show. And of course, you'll be missing out on all the book giveaways when you listen to them late like that. But welcome back. I mentioned before, and I'll keep mentioning it until I actually go to Podcast Expo in 29-30 September in Ontario, California. If you're going to be there, let's hook up. All right, well, some people like the hard rock music. I know I do. Some people don't. So here's a show for all you nightly business report watchers. I promised a super stock spectacular for this show, and that's exactly what I'm going to deliver. First, take a look at the graphic that accompanies this episode. It says super stock spectacular in red letters and has a blue chart of prices that start at about 34 on day one, and about by day 121, it's almost to 44. I'll have some things to say about that chart a little later in the show. Before we get into the actual stock picking part of this, I want to give you my 10 rules for active trading. Rule number one, don't. It's a loser's game. Rule number two, okay, if you really must, realize that it is gambling money. Expect to lose it all. Number three, why not trade in a stock simulator competition instead? Just like playing poker on the internet without money and just for fun. Number four, if you've got to trade for money, trade in a tax-advantaged account like an IRA. Number five, only use a maximum of 5% of your investments, hopefully less. Number six, get a brokerage with very, very low commissions, lowest as you can find. Number seven, don't trade options. Not just because they're too risky and the house is against you, but because they take way too much time to watch. Number eight, find a couple of companies to follow very closely. Become an analyst of that company, if you will. Know it. Know everything about it. Maybe a small company that nobody else follows. Number nine, buy low, sell high. Don't get fearful or greedy. Know that you are trading, and don't, like Jim says, don't turn a trade into an investment. And number 10, good luck. But if you have bad luck, don't pull money out of the other 95% of your investments to play again. There are no do-overs in trading. All right, so let's talk about the stock chart that accompanies this show. You can see it around day 36, the stock plateaus, and until about day 76, it's at the same level between 36 and 38. Well, this is a classic cup and handle pattern. The technical analysts would have a field day with this because they know by day 76 this is going higher. And indeed it did. It went higher all the way to day 121. The question then is, where's it going to go from day 121? By looking at this chart, can you tell where it would be by day 242, doubling the period? What would the price be? I've disguised this particular stock so that you can't really, won't be biased into knowing whether it's, say, Microsoft or Apple or some small cap company, so that it doesn't give any details away. Where did this chart come from? This chart was generated by a simulated roll of two dice. I took each dice roll, subtracted 6 from the total, and divided the result by 10, and added that to the previous total. So each day represented on the bottom adds the increment of that dice roll to the previous day. And that's what generated this stock chart. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Speaking of Microsoft, I listen to that This Week in Tech podcast every week. A couple of shows ago, Leo Laporte was hammering Microsoft for buying back their stock. He said, why not give the money to the shareholders? Leo Laporte needs to realize that buying back their shares reduces the float in the market. Therefore, each share held by someone is a greater percentage than of the company. There's no guarantee that the stock will trade any higher. But you sure would think that it would sometime in the long term. How about Apple Computer then? All this options backdating nonsense, coupled with the bright hope of wonderful products yet to come, that creates the tension between the buyers and the sellers. We have no idea where the price is going to go from day to day or year to year. How about a little tiny company like Microvision, ticker symbol MVIS? Robert X. Cringely came out last year and talked about how they might create goggles that you plug into your iPod so you can watch movies on your eyeglasses from the iPod. A lot of people got excited about that, bought into Microvision. When the Apple conference came around and there was no such announcement, well, you can look at a chart of the prices since then. Microvision reached a high of about 65 in the year 2000, currently trading under $2. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on the Mad Money Machine Show, number 36, Super Stock Spectacular, is Bill Miller. Bill Miller is the vaunted mutual fund manager of the Legg Mason Value Trust Mutual Fund. Why is he so vaunted? Because he has beaten the Standard & Poor's 500 Index for 15 years in a row. It's earned him a book by Janet Lowe, available at Amazon.com, called The Man Who Beats the S&P, Investing with Bill Miller. Here's a little synopsis I read from Amazon. Learn value investing through the strategies and techniques of investment portfolio manager of the decade. In the only value investing book focused on value investor Bill Miller, the manager of the $12 billion Legg Mason Value Trust, Janet Lowe examines the techniques that have earned Miller celebrity status among investors and his peers. By taking the classic concept of value investing and catapulting it into the 21st century, Bill Miller has become a role model for those who wish to learn how to recognize value in today's new and emerging markets. Readers will be introduced to Miller's belief that the value of any equity depends on the future, not on the past. This idea has made him one of the most well-regarded value investors in the mutual fund arena and the only manager of a diversified fund to beat the Standard & Poor's 500 for 10 years in a row. Well, first of all, what does that have to say about all the other mutual fund managers who have not beaten the Standard & Poor's Index 500 for 10 years in a row? And what does that say, therefore, in investing in the Standard & Poor's 500 Index? In fact, I took a look at the Vanguard Total Stock Market Fund, VTSMX. And if you'd invested in that in 10 years, the expenses there would come to, if you had $10,000, for every $10,000 invested in that, after 10 years, you would spend $243. With the Legg Mason Value Trust Index, after 10 years, for the same amount of money, you'd spend $1,987 in expenses. That's for every $10,000, too. Well, not so fast, though. A couple of articles in Barron's and the Wall Street Journal last week. The one in Barron's was entitled, Penthouse to the Outhouse. The one in the Wall Street Journal was entitled, Gauging Miller's Tail at Legg Mason. Chief of Value Trust Fund, Faber's Web and Housing avoids the energy sector. Bill Miller of Legg Mason has a good claim of being the best U.S. mutual fund manager. His now $18 billion value trust has beaten S&P for 15 years in a row. Over the past year, however, the value trust is down more than 6%, placing it in the bottom 1% among the 1,600 mutual funds Morningstar ranks in its class. And how about this from the Index Funds 12-Step Guide for Active Investors book, page 53. It says, another sobering observation comes from Bill Miller, portfolio manager of Legg Mason Value Trust, who outperformed the S&P for the 14th consecutive year in 2004. Miller is a philosophy major who has this to say about the irony of his record in a January 6, 2005 Wall Street Journal article entitled, Bill Miller Dishes on His Streak and His Strategy. He says, as for the so-called streak, that's an accident of the calendar. If the year ended on different months, it wouldn't be there, and at some point the mathematics will hit us. We've been lucky. Well, maybe it's not 100% luck, maybe 95% luck. Based on that comment, it might be a good idea to put a warning on the Legg Mason Value Trust prospectus, reminding investors that luck is not a reliable source of returns in the future. Maybe something along the lines of the health warning on a package of cigarettes. Health warning. Research has shown that over 10 years, about 95% of actively managed mutual funds underperformed low-cost and tax-efficient index funds. The additional fees you pay a manager to beat an index will almost certainly go up in smoke. Well, the year's not over yet. Last year he came pretty close and pulled it out at the end. He might do the same this year. Still, I wouldn't like my chances. Well, that's our guru on show 36, Super Stock Spectacular, Bill Miller. Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our main event. Are you ready to rumble? It's the Portfolio Smackdown. In this corner, weighing in 2 tons, wearing red. It's the Exchange Traded Funds portfolio. And in this corner, wearing rolled-up sleeves and a necktie, weighing in at 165 pounds, it is the Mad Money Machine portfolio of stocks featured by Jim Cramer.
It's time now to take a look at the Portfolio Smackdown. If you're a new listener, you might not know what I'm talking about. At the beginning of 2006, we put $100,000 of play money in two different portfolios. The first was a portfolio of exchange-traded funds, nine different ones representing lots of different asset classes and market capitalizations in a broad stock market indexes. The other one was a portfolio of select Jim Cramer featured stocks. Yeah, I tried to watch the Mad Money show, and for the stocks that he was the most excited about, the ones he was pounding the table on to buy, well, those are the ones I bought at the beginning of the year. And when he said sell, I sold them. A couple other conditions were if they went down really big, then I might have sold out them just to generate a tax loss and swap into something else that he was really excited about at the time. Or if they'd had a huge gain, then bulls make money, bears make money, hogs get slaughtered. We're supposed to get out of something if it's hoggish. That's the way I've played it. You can see all the details about all the trades at madmoneymachine.com/portfolios. Just hit the portfolios tab at the top of the homepage. How are we doing as of the close of the day, Wednesday, August 16th? The exchange-traded funds portfolio is up nicely, 7.8%. Had two great days in a row, in fact, this week so far. The select Jim Cramer featured stocks portfolio is down 1.1%. Yeah, we've had some losers in there that we've had to sell. And we replaced those with some he likes. What's in there now? Sears Holdings. He loves Sears Holdings. Always has loved it. It's down 2.5% since we bought it on May 31st. Halliburton loves that energy play. Down 2.5% since we bought it in March. General Motors. He said it would go to 40. It's at 31 right about now. But we got a 16.5% gain on it. Or 16.9% gain on it. Genzyme is a winner, up 16.5%. PepsiCo recently bought. It's up 1.3%. That's nice. Boeing was one of his great picks of the year. But it is down 5.1% since we bought it. JCPenney Company recently bought and nicely up 6.7%. And I think the only stock that we have in there since the beginning of the year is Talisman Energy. And it's down 0.7%. So all totaled, all put together, a 1.1% loss for the Cramer portfolio. And the Cramer Luxury Index. Back in July 27th, he said he put together these stocks to gauge the consumer sentiment at the high end of the consumer scale. And he was worried about this going down. It was at 96 at the time that he mentioned it. He was worried about it going down. And then if it did go down, it would be headed for recession. Well, from 96, where I started it, as of Wednesday, it's at 104. So go luxury consumer. And on the other one I added, Pfizer versus the ETF, the pharma holder. Pfizer's up 2.9%. Pharma holder's only up 0.5%. And one other portfolio that I'll just be happy to mention for you this time. Last year, Ben Stein, in his column out at Yahoo Finance, he recommended a portfolio of some exchange-traded funds in various percentages, and you can read details about that on my website. But his portfolio as of Wednesday, August 16th, starting with the same $100,000 at the beginning of 2006, it is up 10%. Well, congratulations, Ben Stein, on a fantastic job with that portfolio. Biggest winner in there is his iShares REIT, ICF, up 17%. And he has the iShares EAFE, ticker EFA, up 13.8%. Emerging markets up 12.5%, natural resources up 12.5%, Canada up 11%. Even the small cap, Vanguard Small Cap Value, VBR, up 8.1%. Nice portfolio. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 3, stock pickers. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. So I'm watching TV the other day trying to get some stock tips, and this guy comes on and tells me how high my stocks should be. Hey, Mr. TV guy, why don't you ever tell us what your long-term stock picking performance is? I don't know the secrets you keep, but I know where you hide. You see, I don't trust this feeling I get from him. But I still watch it, and I know I'll get by, I hope. I just can't tell which of their stock picks are right from wrong, even at the best of times. You know, you can get so enchanted with all their cunning lies. I'm really starting to think it's a babbling of fools.
I don't know the secrets you keep, but I know where you hide. I don't trust this feeling I get, yeah, but I'll get by. I can't tell right from wrong at the best of times. One can be so enchanted with all your cunning lies, babbling of fools, babbling of fools.
Stock pickers are active investors who bet they can beat a market by picking stocks they believe will outperform an index or market average. The chances of a fund manager beating a market over the long term are about the same as betting on one number on a roulette table in Vegas, or about 1 in 38. On average, stock pickers will always lose by an amount equal to their costs and expenses. If you think you or anyone else can beat the market over the long term, if you are a stock picker, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home.
Is there some way you can rescue me? Some way you can bring me home again? Some way you can rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue.
I've got a tool in the crib for you. If you're looking to invest in mutual funds, it's important to know if your actively managed fund is actually a passive index fund in disguise. One way to do that is to go to Morningstar. I've got the link in my show notes. quicktake.morningstar.com/fund/risk.asp?country=USA and FD tab equals risk and symbol equals, and you enter the symbol of the mutual fund you're interested in. So what you look at here is you look at the R squared and beta numbers. If the R squared number is 90 or more, then you pretty much know you've got an index fund. If the beta number is close to 1, then you pretty much know you've got an index fund. I typed in the Legg Mason Value Fund that Bill Miller, our guru, runs, and his R squared against the S&P 500 is 77. Okay, beta is 1.4. All right, so he's not running an index fund. Versus the Russell 1000, his R squared is 87 and beta is 1.31, a little closer to being just an index fund. You can also click on the tab there for fees and expenses and see that the expense ratio of that fund is 1.68. You can click on the portfolio tab and take a look at not only the style box, but up above the tab, top 25 holdings, to see what stocks comprise that mutual fund. And of course, the total returns tab to see how its chart of prices compares with the chart of a index like the S&P 500. So that's our tool in the crib this time. See if your fund is a index fund in disguise. And of course, this tool is free. It's time to give a book away. The book is Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors, written by Mark Hebner at IFA.com. Well, I appreciate all of you who have entered comments to win a copy of the book this time out of madmoneymachine.com. In the show notes for last week's show, get my investing newsletter. A couple of people that I talked to that listened to that said, I don't get it. Are you really selling a newsletter? Oh, people. It's called sarcasm. Well, we had 12 comments of people who told me where they had advertised the Mad Money Machine. I'm disappointed that nobody's blog showed up in Technorati. But people are just telling their friends about it. That's no way to reach the tipping point. Anyway, I'll go out to random.org and I'll say generate one random integer, smallest value of 1, largest value of 12, format in one column, and get number. The number this time is 8. And that corresponds to Doug Ashley. Haven't you won before? Let me look you up. No, you haven't won before. Well, congratulations, Doug Ashley. He says he has recommended the podcast at his NAIC Investment Club meeting and just posted info about it at Morningstar.com's Vanguard Diehards discussion group. Best regards. Well, yeah, Doug, I went out to Vanguard Diehards and looked at your posting, and you incorrectly referenced it as MadMoney.com. Holy cow, what a mistake that is. So I tried to add a posting in there, redirecting folks to MadMoneyMachine.com. You'd think I'd say that often enough during the podcast, wouldn't you? MadMoneyMachine.com. Doug Ashley, congratulations. Doug, this is going to be a great addition to your investing library. And for all of you who didn't win, you know what your assignment is. Click on my website, MadMoneyMachine.com. Find the picture of this book. Click on it. It takes you to Amazon. Say purchase. And within a couple of days, it'll be at your door. And you'll be able to be a much better investor. Well, I'm not going to give a book away this week. I'm not going to have an assignment for you. I'm not sure that I'm going to do a show next week. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? That I might actually skip a week in producing a show? It hasn't happened in 2006. Well, maybe it did. I think when I went to Las Vegas early on, I might have missed a week here or there. But not intentionally, like I plan to do next week, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure I can leave you. It might come next Thursday, and I just have to put something down. And if I do, would you mind if it's just a raw show with no production values? It'd be almost like a behind-the-scenes tour of the Mad Money Machine. It'd be like one of those DVD bonus tracks where you get to listen to the director's comments. Making of the Mad Money Machine. In fact, I am going to be giving a talk at my neighbor's company next Thursday. And I look forward to that in a big way. Me being a INTJ in the, Myers-Briggs personality test or something. I don't know what that's called. INTJ. And I would say it is a capital I. I being introvert. And so it'll be interesting to see how well I do in front of real people. I do so much appreciate you for listening and downloading and listening to this show. I hope you get something out of it. I know I have in the many weeks that I've been putting it together. You can tell that the direction of the show has changed somewhat since the beginning, can't you? And it's only through study and research that I've changed some of my opinions about how to make money and investments. I guess that's a great thing about podcasts is we can change our mind in midstream. Some of these TV shows that you might watch, they get their course chartered at the beginning and they set sail in a straight line all through the end of the show without changing. I'm fortunate to be able to change. And I hope you stick with me. I'm on a journey and I invite you to come along with me exploring the efficient frontier. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money and it takes standing up and walking away from the roulette table to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next time. And visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com. Matching people with portfolios.
You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.